Welcome, fellow infidels. On the line right now is Dr. Waleed Ferez. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. And your work, I mean, your work is very important. I've been following, and it's really in the leading movement in the study of counterterrorism. Thank you.
The founder of 9/11 Families for a Secure America, Peter Gaudiel, say hello.
Hello.
And we have Deborah Burlingame, who's joined us now. Deborah, thank you so much for coming on board tonight.
Daddy, it's my pleasure. In a nutshell, I'm a sister. My big brother was the pilot of American Airlines Flight 77.
If you like, Clavin, I'll let you say hello because he's already waiting in the wings. Andrew, good evening.
Good evening, Gotti. I only want to tell your audience that I had nothing to do with this and I take no responsibility for you.
Chris Carter is with the Victory Institute. Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, it's the Victory Institute, and simply put, what we are, Gotti, is we're a veteran service organization.
We do have the producer, Harmon Caslow. He's the producer of the movie Atlas Shrugged, Part 1. You are on the show. Welcome.
Oh, no, it's great to be back, and I really enjoyed our conversation earlier today. It's fabulous.
The Holocaust Survivor Cookbook, and we have and are honored tonight to have with us the author of that book, Joanne Carras, is on. Say hello, Joanne.
Hi. I just want to thank you so much for giving me this wonderful opportunity to talk to your viewers.
And we will tell everybody, we have Chuck Holton on the line. He's been on the show, and Chuck, don't tell me if I get this wrong. I want to say 3 times? Is this your 4th?
Good question.
I don't feel so bad. How are you? Eric Stackelback. How are we doing, Eric?
Gotti, I'm doing great. It's so great to be here. But Gotti, I have to say, it was such a pleasure being on with you, and let's do it again. Absolutely, my friend.
Love the book.
I appreciate it very much. God bless you. God bless all your listeners, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Eric. You take care.
Take care, my friend. You too. Bye-bye.
Hello, everybody. Wild Bill for America here, ready to get this party going.
America above, fellow infidels.
Welcome, fellow infidels, to another episode of America Akbar with Gotti Edelman. And last time I checked, I am Gotti Edelman. And of course, I don't have a mirror in here, but just trust me on this one. I'm Gotti Edelman. As usual, sitting by my side, the lovely, the beautiful, the talented radio wife, Reese.
Hello.
Hello, Reese, and we're having a glitch with the studio because that took an awful long time for that one little clip to come on.
This story of the week, isn't it? It's a glitch week.
Now, do you recognize the phone number at the bottom of the board there, Reese?
I was assuming, but I haven't checked, so.
Double check, but I think I know who it is.
Okay.
Anyway, so we've got an interesting show for you tonight because I am in a mood. So if you people think you've heard me go off before, ho-ho! Are you in for it tonight? Anyway, I want to thank everybody for showing up tonight. Wasn't expecting this many people given the fact that it's the last night of the RNC, not to mention the fact that just as we're going off the air or shortly thereafter, Mitt Romney will be coming on the air. So if you guys can hang with me for a couple of hours, as soon as we're done, you can go watch the presidential candidate, Mitt Romney. And I am really, 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 really hoping, and I'm sure that he will, accept the nomination and he will become our legitimate presidential candidate. Anyway, just so everybody knows, our phone number is...
Area code 347-857-1380.
America Akbar. That's our phone number, 347-857-1380. If you're sitting at your computer, which you probably are, as opposed to listening to me on an iPad or your phone, you can Skype in by clicking the Skype button next to the phone number on the main page. Welcome to everybody in the chat room. And without further ado, allow me welcome the person whom we always love to have here, but is so, I don't know. You know, he shows up when he wants. He leaves when he wants. The man of the hour, Wild Bill, how you doing?
Hey, Gotti, you know how it is with us Western drifters. We just kind of ride into town, clean things up, and then ride off into the sunset. Yeah.
Well, all I just assume whenever you just, like, disappear in the middle of the show that you're being chased by a black bear, and I let it go at that.
I'm sure that brings a smile to your face.
I would, as long as I know that you wouldn't get hurt, I would not mind seeing a video of you running through the woods being chased by some little bear cub.
yeah, it could happen.
It's liable to happen from the pictures I've seen on your Facebook recently. How you been, Bill?
Oh, doing good. Life is good in Alaska, and I actually haven't seen a bear for quite some time. The raspberries are ripe and the salmon are running, so they're out hanging out in the mountains and by the rivers.
Well, see, and I'm eating dinner, by the way, people. I unfortunately had to work today, and normally I'm off on Thursdays. So I had to rush home from work and try and put the show together. Well, Bill, we've got a great show tonight because not only are you here, which I'm glad, but we've got Rabbi Nachman here.
All right.
Zito would say Rabbi Nachman or Nachman. I'm not sure how he pronounces it. Rabbi, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you, Gotti? Bill?
Hey, life is good. Can't wait till we meet in real life one of these days so we can sit down and enjoy a good meal together.
Did you say life is good?
Life is good.
Shut up and speak for yourself. You have no idea what kind of week I've had. I left you a couple of voicemails, my friend. You didn't even bother calling me back. Okay, I got that off my chest.
Okay,
anyway.
Okay, now that before you start complaining, did either one of you have a black bear in the backyard this week?
Oh, wait. No. I can answer that question. I don't know if I had a black bear in my backyard because I haven't had the time to go in my backyard. But go ahead, Rabbi, because I know you did.
Yeah, we actually did have a black bear in the backyard this week.
See, Bill, that's why you don't have any up there where you're living. They're visiting the rabbi.
Well, give them a bath and send them back.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, wait a minute, Bill. I just got to tell you, if you see any bear where you are, and they're wearing little yarmulkes on their head, you know it's the ones that visited the rabbi. All right, gentlemen, let me do this. Bill, and shoot, I don't have Bill's music lined up. Rabbi, you know that everybody that comes on the show, we try and give them a piece of music to make them part of the show. And lately, because of the amount of time that you've been spending with us, it's becoming more of the Gotti and Rabbi show than it has been Gotti show. So let me first play the Wild Bill clip to welcome Bill along, and then I've got a surprise for you, Rabbi.
Springfield detective, peace officer in Hayes, Marshal Abilene, a legend in his own day. There never was a man with such a steady hand. Wild Bill Hickok was his name.
Wild Bill for America was his name. Bill, welcome back, and I'm glad you're with us tonight. I really, really
am.
I missed you, and I'm sorry that we didn't get a chance to catch up this week off air. Rabbi, if you had to choose, if someone said to you, what is the most important, or perhaps not necessarily the most important, but the most said prayer in Hebrew that you can describe in one word, what would that prayer be?
Shema.
Exactly, the Shema. How did I know that? Now,
how did you know that?
You know that my favorite Israeli artist is Sarit Haddad.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very much Mizrahi music, which is basically Yemenite or Arab-Jewish music, and I love that music. But I found a piece done by Sarit Haddad, and I've cut it down to 29 seconds, so this is going to be the rabbi's music from here on.
Shema Yisrael. נתת לי את חיי, נתת לי הכל. בעיניי דימה, הלב בוכה בשקט. וכשהלב שותק, הנשמה זועקת.
Now, for those that don't speak Hebrew, Rabbi, I hope you understood what she was saying, because although it's not the true Shema, she talks about Shema Yisrael. And it's if you listen to the song in its entirety and you're not weeping at the end of it, you got to have your blood pressure checked.
That's beautiful. It really is.
And I'll give everybody a brief synopsis in that 29 seconds. What she was saying was Shema is, the prayer would be Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, which means Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Sorry, I didn't mean to set you off there. I forgot that there's other things that follow that you have to do whenever you hear that.
I was just finishing it for you, that's all.
Thank you, Rabbi. And what she said was, she said, Shema Yisrael, you've given me my life, you've given me everything. And she's basically thanking God how through her eyes and everything that she sees and does. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. So if you go to YouTube and you can just put in Shema, S-H-E-M-A, and it will come up in the YouTube search under Shema. It'll say Shema Sarit Hadad. You can listen to the whole song, but I only ask that you wait until after we're off the air so you don't miss anything. Anyway, without further ado, what I want to do is the rabbi, and I know Bill's going to want to jump in on this. The rabbi and I spoke prior to the show, and we talked about a couple of the things that we wanted to bring up tonight. And I want to do the news and not really ramble on too much about the news, because one of the news pieces that I'm about to read is going to be what we're going to discuss. And I'm sure you guys can figure this one out for yourselves. So without further ado, before it gets too late, I've got to introduce Reese to introduce the news.
It's just past 8 o'clock, and it's time for your national and international news here on America Akbar.
And as usual, she does such a lovely job introducing the news. All right, we're going to start with domestic news. For those that have been out of the loop, I don't know what kind of news they have up there in Alaska with the black bears, but hopefully Bill saw this. If you didn't, Bill, sit down, because you're going to need to be sitting when I read this to you.
Okay.
A 19-year-old Michigan State University student is now recovering at home in Oakland County after surgery overnight for a broken jaw that he suffered from, and I'm going to call it, a hate crime. Police, however, said that it does not appear to be a hate crime. Two men at a party early Sunday attacked Zachary Tenen, a journalism sophomore at Michigan State University, after they asked him whether he was Jewish. They raised their arms in a Nazi salute, started chanting Heil Hitler, and then knocked him unconscious. Now, it gets better, because the East Lansing Police Department has now said in a statement that its preliminary investigation indicated it is not likely a hate crime. Two witnesses have been located, and the East Lansing Police Department has identified a potential suspect. He does not live in the area, according to a statement. ELPD is making significant progress with the case. More information will be provided as it becomes available. Now, Zachary told police, and I need to explain here, that Zachary had to tell police via writing this down because his jaw is wired shut, not to mention something else that I'm about to read that they did to him. Zachary told police that after doing the chant and knocking him unconscious and breaking his jaw, that they, quote, stapled me in the backside of my bottom teeth, starting in my gums and going upwards. Basically, they stapled him front to back, his lips to his gums, through his lips. I've never heard of anything so horrific, said Bruce Tenen, whose father was a longtime Third Circuit Court judge. The whole thing is unconscionable, what they did to him. Zachary told his parents that no one at the party helped him when he was attacked, and then he was thrown out of the party and had to wait out front and call a cab. He then took a cab to Sparrow Hospital in Lansing for his initial treatment, but underwent surgery at St. Joseph Mercy Oakland Hospital in Pontiac overnight to have his jaw wired shut. His mother stated, I'm really, really upset in many ways. Oh, I'm sorry, Zachary stated that. According to the MSU student newspaper, state news. First of all, it's a terrible experience physically and also mentally to know that something would do something like this, he said before his surgery, despite the difficulties for him talking. It almost seemed like they tried to kill me. And to think about that in my brain physically, it isn't very pleasant. The family has, of course, filed a report with the police department. Bruce Tennant, his father, is working with the Anti-Defamation League to make sure that the two men are found and prosecuted. He said he'll support an investigation by the FBI if the local police do not make an arrest. He said, and I quote, "I will do everything in my power to see that the assailants are located, A, and B, arraigned, jailed, and prosecuted. I want them to pay for what they did. I want them to understand the ramifications of what they did, as opposed to walking away and laugh and saying, 'You blanking Jew.' And if it has to be taken to a court of law, we will do it. They have to be prosecuted. He was an innocent victim," end quote. A young man who answered the door at the house where the reported assault took place said only that police had instructed them not to talk about the incident. Oh, boy. Anyway, I'm not going to read the rest of this article. What the rabbi found later, and the police, by the way, did not respond this morning for requests of more information. The rabbi sent me an email, and he found another article where there was a statement from the University of Michigan. Spokesperson Kent Casella stated today, quote, "MSU will work with the student and his professors to ensure he can fulfill his academic requirements as we would with any student in need," end quote. Now, real quick, just now that I've painted the picture, I do just want to say it kind of boggles my mind that their statement wasn't a little bit more in-depth, like how they might abhor the fact that this guy was beaten after being asked if he was Jewish, how they said Heil Hitler before they knocked him unconscious, how there were at least 20 people in this party who did absolutely nothing to stop it. But we can get into that later because I found a little piece of news that I thought was interesting. And this comes out of Dearborn. And it is, in my opinion, directly related to this incident. Because the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee's Michigan chapter, that would be the ADC, the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, condemned vandalism over the past weekend at the Mother of Savior Lutheran Church on Evergreen Road in Dearborn. Now, this happens to be an Arab Christian church. And it took place around the same time as what happened to this student. But they came out with a statement condemning the fact that two outer window panes on the building's south side were broken. Police found crab apples broke the outer panes but did not break the inner panes. The outer windows were broken sometime between 11 p.m. on Friday and 11 a.m. on Sunday. And there was similar damage at the church about a week before. Now, an email was sent by the reverend of this church to the ADC, the Anti-Defamation League of Michigan, and they released a press release. Quote, "As a Christian, Arab, and Middle East congregation, we have sensed the profiling in more ways than one. It is unfortunate that racial profiling, bigotry, and racism continues to exist and flourish in our beloved country. We live under a constitution that supports freedom, justice, and equality for all." The ADC Michigan cited recent incidents, including the shooting at a Sikh temple in Wisconsin, etc., etc., etc. And Dawood Walid, the executive director for the Council on American Islamic Relations of Michigan, called for the FBI to investigate, etc., etc., etc. Well, here's the reason I think these two are connected. They came out with a press release, because I am certainly not condoning, so don't anybody get me wrong, the damage that occurred to this church. I wouldn't care if it was a mosque. I'd be speaking out on that, too. However, if the Michigan chapter felt it necessary to do a press release of what they felt was a hate crime to a church, why are they not speaking out about what happened to this Jewish student in Michigan? And I just thought I'd throw that out there for everybody to ponder as we get onto the news. Let me do the international news, then we'll get back to what we want to talk about. Unless, Reese, do you feel that we should take our break now, or do you want to wait until 8:30?
The next thing you want to talk about, if it's within the next 10 minutes. Go ahead and do that, and then we'll pick
all right.
the top
well,
of
I'll cover the international news real quick because it's important, and then when we come back, the rabbi and Bill and I are going to discuss what we came here to discuss. So even though Bill still has no clue what the heck it is, I know he's going to jump right in. Anyway, on the international news front, the Iranian supreme leader speaking at the NAM summit called the Israelis, and I quote, ferocious Zionist wolves who digest the Palestinian people, end quote. In yet another outrageously anti-Semitic speech, the Iranian supreme leader Ayatollah al-Khomeini, speaking Thursday at the Non-Aligned Movement, otherwise known as NAM or NAM, summit, called the Israelis ferocious Zionist wolves who digest the Palestinian people. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who decided to attend the summit in Iran despite a wave of protests calling on him to boycott the event, remained seated throughout the entire duration of the speech, refraining from showing any opposition outwardly towards these hateful remarks. In comments made prior to the beginning of the summit, Ban Ki-moon said that he strongly rejects threats by any member state to destroy another or outrageous attempts to deny historical facts such as the Holocaust, but he did so without explicitly mentioning Iran. Claiming that Israel does not have the right to exist or describing it in racist terms is not only wrong, but it undermines the very principle we have all pledged to uphold, Ban said. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu recently called the summit, which drew more than 120 countries to Iran, a disgrace and stain on humanity. Amid the backlash, the UN felt compelled to release a statement to the media Wednesday justifying Ban Ki-moon's attendance. Quote, the Secretary General convened the clear the Secretary General conveyed the clear concerns and expectations of the international community on the issues of which cooperation and progress are urgent for both regional stability and for the welfare of the Iranian people, end quote. During his meeting with President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Ban Ki-moon thanked the Iranian leader for the invitation. On the nuclear question, the Secretary General said he's been following closely Iran's talks with the P5 plus one. The statement said, referring to the five permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany, quote, he said he regretted that little tangible progress has been achieved so far during these intensive talks and that the talks need to be serious and substantive, end quote. Now, that comes on the heels of some news that came out today from the IAEA, which, as we all know, is the International Atomic Energy Administration. And they're part of the UN. What a shocker. The UN Watchdog Quarterly Report says that the number of centrifuges at the Fordow facility has more than doubled from 2,140 from only 1,064 back in May. So here you have Iran more than doubling the amount of centrifuges they're working with. Okay? And Ban Ki-moon goes to Iran on an invitation to for this NAM summit. It's just mind-boggling. It is totally mind-boggling. And because I promised Reese that I'm going to get this done before the 8:30 half-hour break, rather than reading the whole story, I just want to read the last story, which all ties into this, because this comes from General Martin Dempsey, who basically told Israel Today, and that would be the American U.S. General Martin Dempsey, if you attack Iran, we don't have your back. Let me repeat that. For all of you who haven't heard this yet in the mainstream media, General Martin Dempsey, if you attack Iran, we don't have your back. That's don't. Not as in do, but as in we don't. General Martin Dempsey said, and I quote, I don't want to be complicit if Israel chooses to attack Iran. The U.S. military's top officer made statements today which appear to warn Israel that it should not expect U.S. assistance if it chooses to attack Iran's nuclear weapons program. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, said such an attack would clearly delay but probably not destroy Iran's nuclear program. He added, I don't want to be complicit if Israel chooses to do it. Dempsey said, He did not know Iran's nuclear intentions, since intelligence does not reveal intentions. What was clear, he said, was that the international coalition is applying pressure on Iran, and it could be undone if Iran was attacked prematurely. The White House said today that Iran has a limited window of time to accept the West's conditions regarding its nuclear weapons program. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney told reporters the U.S. is closely studying the U.N. International Atomic Energy Agency's, the IAEA, quarterly report on Iran, and he said, and I quote, "But broadly speaking, it is not surprising that Iran is continuing to violate its obligations," end quote. You know, I want you guys to think about those three stories and how they all tie together while we're on break, because it just boggles my mind that here you have the Ayatollah once again, and yes, I said Tolly on purpose, you have the Ayatollah once again spouting off about how we need to wipe Israel off the map, how, you know, they're ferocious people who are wolves who are eating the Palestinians. And then you have the IAEA coming out and saying, oh, by the way, Iran, under all these sanctions, has doubled the amount of centrifuges they have. And now you've got the general of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dempsey, saying, Israel, if you attack, don't count on us. So I want everybody to think about that while we play this wonderful music that I'm sure Reese has picked out for our first break.
Well, we have taken on the Madison Rising Star Spangled Challenge, Star Spangled Banner Challenge. And so we start out our first break with the Star Spangled Banner for Madison Rising. And we play, of course, a little ad that will explain a little bit about their challenge. So here we go. With no further ado, we have the Star Spangled Banner with Madison Rising. And you can find them at madisonrising.com.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Bray from Madison Rising. Help Madison Rising keep the banner flying high and show everyone that you are one of the millions of hardworking people in this country that are still proud to be an American. Take the challenge at www.starspangledbannerchallenge.com. That's starspangledbannerchallenge.com.
Welcome, fellow infidels. Gotti Edelman here with America Akbar Radio. If you're only listening to the radio show, you are only getting a small piece of what we do around here. You need to get over to GaddiEdelman.com, GaddiEdelman.com. There you can read my weekly articles that come out every Monday. You can check out my videos, and you can link up to a bunch of other great sites and really stay on top of things. So once again, for everybody here at America Akbar, keep on listening, and thanks for your support.
Hey, everybody, this is Dave Bray of...
Okay, Reese, that was weird. I just pushed a bumper song of Sarita Dodd, and we got Dave Bray again. All right, no need to do the bumper music. We are back, and thank you, everybody, for hanging out. Nothing wrong with having Dave Bray on there twice, right, Reese?
Never can have too much of that, right?
Well, it tells me that all my things are messed up here in the studio, but that's all right. All right. As everybody knows, not only have we hooked up with Madison Rising for their Star Spangled Challenge, but thanks to Harmon Kastler, the producer, executive producer of Atlas Shrugged and Atlas Shrugged 2, we have got a bunch of T-shirts to give away. And allow me to say that if you've won in the past 30 days, you are not eligible. Isn't that what they always say on the radio, Reese?
Okay.
Well, since we always have the same people calling in with the answers, I want to get some newbies calling in. So we're going to do this real fast. Reese will check the phone calls. Here's the question for tonight. Everybody pay attention now. In the very first movie, which was 2 years ago, back in 2010, or part one of the book, her name just totally slipped my mind, Reese. Oh, my gosh. The girl, the sister who owns the train company, at the end of the movie and at the end of part one in the book, she does this whole new train line. What did she name the train line, and why did she name it that? So, everybody start calling in. Our phone number is 347-857-1380. It was Taggart. What did Taggart name the new train line, and why? So start calling in 347-857-1380. And I want to thank Wild Bill for America and Rabbi Nachman for hanging on. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you. Well, that's, you got me going with that Iran story, Gotti. I got to tell you. How can anybody deny that that is a weapons plant now? With them doubling the number of centrifuges, there's no doubt in my mind what they're using that nuclear research for. And I certainly cannot stand behind that general saying that we will not have Israel's back if they attack. And one thing is that we have had standing military policy for decades that we do back Israel. And we've got naval task forces over there just off their coast just in case they're needed. And
right.
So the only way that we would not have Israel's back is if Obama was to openly stop the U.S. military from assisting Israel, and that would be an extremely risky political move for him. This is why a lot of people are thinking that Netanyahu may push for an attack prior to the November election, because there's only one thing that Obama cares about right now, and that's getting another 4 years in the White House. Would he dare to turn his back on Israel just before the election?
Well, now, here's the problem, because you just totally took the words out of my mouth, Bill, because when you said that we have, you know, even though they're unwritten standing orders, except when it comes to Egypt, because as I've noted before in articles as well as on this show, in 1979, when Israel and Egypt made peace, the United States signed on as part of that agreement that if Egypt, not Israel, but if Egypt were to ever break that peace treaty, they would side with Israel, including not only with weapons and money, but troops. So that, you know, that being said, there is a standing order outside of that, as Bill mentioned, that, you know, the United States always has, and not to mention not just its allies, but NATO members and everything else, there's an obligation to have their back. But what I was going to say in answer to what you said was what you just said. That was until Obama came into office.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, this is exactly what, and I'm getting Skyped like crazy by Reese here, if you guys can hear that. Bloop, bloop, bloop. I apologize. Anyway, yes, just leave them on hold, Reese, and we'll get to that answer in a second here. But yeah, I mean, the you know as well as I do, Bill, and I know the rabbi will back me on this, that Iran is strictly doing this for medical isotopes, right, Rabbi? Isn't that what they said?
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
all
it.
It's all
yeah.
for medical purposes. So, you know, they double the centrifuges, they build bunkers underground, they bury them with dirt and reinforce concrete and more dirt. It's all just because, you know, it's for medical purposes.
And in Iraq, they were just milk plants, right?
That's right. They were milk plants, exactly. They even had the jackets that said milk plant on the back, just for those of us that were too stupid to realize it was
in English.
In English, exactly. I remember that. Real quick, let me introduce Tim, who thinks he has the answer to the trivia question. And, Reese, I'm going to open up your mic real quick because I need to know whether or not you've gotten Tim's information on the off chance that he is correct.
I haven't, but I will if he is.
Okay, so, Tim, after you answer the question, do not hang up. I'm going to put you back on hold, and that way Reese can get your information so we can send you a T-shirt, compliments of the new movie that is coming out October 12th of this year, right before the election. Tim, welcome to America Akbar.
Hi, Gadi and Rebbe and everybody out there. This is Tim in Saskatchewan calling.
There's actually people in Saskatchewan?
Yeah,
that is actually a member of our congregation.
Oh, wow. So there's not only people in Saskatchewan, you're telling me there's Jews out there.
Yeah, there's a couple anyway.
Part of that tribe we were talking about, Rabbi, that 13th Jewish tribe, that lost tribe.
The lost tribe.
Yeah. Tim, what's the answer to tonight's question? And I'll give it a question again. Taggart. I forget her first name, but Taggart.
Dagny. Dagny Taggart. She
Dagny.
Named it the John Galt line because she was tired of hearing the name and she wanted to give it some sort of substance.
Exactly. Very good. Woo! I don't have my applause handy.
One of my favorite books. I read it when I was about 20 years old.
And
I was about
21
ago.
How many years ago?
About 35 years ago.
Okay, all right. Well, hang on the line there, Tim, and congratulations. You got a
Gotti, before you put him back on hold.
Yes.
Actually, Tim had made a statement in the chat room that I think you should hear.
Uh-oh.
Tim, you want to tell him about where you work?
I work at a uranium mine for a company called Cameco. They're the number one supplier of uranium for nuclear power. And we're building a new camp, and they just brought in a crew of Iranian construction workers in to build the camp.
Wait, back up. Give me that last sentence again.
They're building a new camp so we can house more workers and we can expand the development of the mine. And they hired some contractors, and the contractors hired a crew of Iranian construction workers.
Okay. Now this is a joke, right?
No, I'm not joking. I'm very disturbed.
All right, now, Tim, if you can answer this question, because you work for a private corporation that does this mining of uranium, who makes the decision as to who these workers are going to be? Who hires these workers? Did that come from above your company, like the administration, or was that just chosen by the company you work for?
I think the Cameco just... They hired contractors to do the construction, and the contractor hired the Iranians. We have such a shortage of manpower here, they'll hire anybody. If you need a job, come out of the U.S. and come to Saskatchewan. There's so much work here, you can walk into a place and say, okay, I'd like to work here. When can I work? But anyway, going back to the Iranians.
Real quick, I've got one follow-up question. Do they not have to be vetted in any way? Is there any kind of security check that they do on these people?
I can't say. I don't know. Not with the contractors. With myself, there was I think there was a police check. I don't recall. That was a few years back.
Does that not give everybody a warm and fuzzy? Go on, Tim. I apologize for interrupting.
Well, I mean, I'm in the cafeteria, and they point at the dish and go, pork, as in asking a question, and the guy goes, no, and then they don't speak English. They're Arabic. I've spent some time in the Middle East, and I know Arabic.
Well, if they're Iranian, it would be Farsi.
Yeah, Okay, Farsi, yeah.
Because they're actually Persians and they speak Farsi. But, yeah, do me a favor. Next time they point at the dish and they yell, pork, and the guy says, no, go, yes, 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 it's pork.
No. Dog, yes, dog.
We're giving you bacon for breakfast, we're giving you sausage for lunch, and we're going to give you ribs for dinner. And if you don't like it,
Well, it's hard for me to eat there. It's very difficult. I struggle every time I go up for my shift. But I was disturbed with that, and I mentioned it to some of the other, my co-workers and stuff, and nobody seemed to really understand. So...
Oh, my gosh. Well, Tim, thanks for that wonderful tidbit of news. I'm sure that fits in the picture somewhere of Connect the Dots. We've got Iranian contractors or workers hired by a contractor to help dig more uranium in Saskatchewan. That's just great. That just, oh, wow. Okay, we can just end the show right now, people. I'm done.
Welcome to America.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Don't go anywhere. I'm going to put you back in the room and get your information.
Somebody can grab you, and that way she can get your information. Hang on 1 second. Man, do you believe that? Bill, Rabbi, do you believe this?
Oh, I believe it. Absolutely. That's the way of America nowadays. We've got so many people out of work, and, well, we've got 23 million Americans out of work, and Obama just gave work orders to millions of illegals. We're crying out loud. This is the era of insanity in America.
It goes beyond insanity. We're worried as supposedly the administration is worried about the fact, and listening to the IAEA, that Iran is trying to use this nuclear facility for weapons-grade plutonium, and now we're bringing Iranians in to dig for uranium. Does this not, like, does anybody else see the connection here?
Just to clarify, the mine that Tim is talking about is in Canada.
Yes. Okay.
Well, I just want to get the facts straight. The mine is in Canada, but, you know, the repercussions are the same. It wouldn't matter whether they were in Canada or whether they were here or whether they were in Russia.
If I'm the biggest supplier of uranium to nuclear reactors in the United States, and I'm in Canada, and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the NRC in the United States, were to say to me as a corporation, we have a little bit of a problem with these contractors you've brought in. We would prefer that they all be either Americans or be Canadian citizens and be vetted before for a security check. And if you do not do that, we ain't buying anymore. What do you think that company would do?
Well, we know that's not going to happen. It's not politically correct.
Oh, well, pardon me for not being PC.
I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. They will never say it. It's not politically correct.
Canada to let them dig for the uranium. I have an idea. Let's be so politically correct. Let's just open up all our nuclear reactors in the United States, get rid of all the armed guards at these places, and invite them in. Just give them the freaking keys to the city. Why don't we?
Well, we already let them into the White House.
Obama ideas.
Yeah, really. Exactly. That'll be next on the list. They've already toured the top secret centers of our counterterrorism unit in Quantico. You know, we've had terrorists in there, for God's sakes. I just cannot believe. And you read these polls, and Obama and Romney are still neck and neck? When are these people in this country going to wake the hell up? Ah! I told you guys you were in for one hell of a show. Oh, my God.
What else
God.
Is in the news?
Well, I'll tell you what, Rabbi, since you brought it up, why don't you give me your opinion of what happened since you happen to be a resident of the state of Michigan? Tell me your feelings on this Michigan State University, Zachary Tenen, who was asked if he was Jewish, and the two gentlemen, for lack of a better term, that asked him, raised their arms in a Nazi salute, started chanting Heil Hitler, knocked him unconscious, broke his jaw, and stapled his lips shut to his gums. Give me your opinion on that.
I can't for the life of me understand how the police can say that they do not consider this a hate crime.
Thank you.
They came out and asked him directly if he was Jewish, and the minute he said yes, they knocked him out. They beat him half to death, broke his jaw, put him in the hospital, and it's not a hate crime. However, if we go down to Dearborn, where there is a church where a couple of crab apples, I believe you said,
yes,
were thrown through the window. Now, that seems more like kids than adults. I mean, an adult would pick up a rock.
Or a brick, yes.
Or a brick or something that's going to do some significant damage. That
exactly.
sounds like kids, and you know, throw it through the church window, and you know, get a giggle and run away. But that's a hate crime.
Now here's my point, and I'll say it. I'm going to steal your thunder, Rabbi and Bill, because I know both of you are thinking this. Let's turn this around to the same party at MSU, and let's make that individual, instead of being a Jew, a Muslim. And two guys walk up to him and say, "Are you a Muslim?" And knock him out. They don't even break his jaw. They don't even beat him senseless. They don't even staple his lips shut. What do you think? We'd have so many stinking FBI agents in Michigan overnight, you would think that you were in Quantico.
Oh, it'd be on every major network.
What does that tell you about the two men that did the crime? Put this together, guys. Come on.
I didn't read that from the article, Bill, but you bring up a good point, and I just want to let you know. They identified themselves, according to Zachary, the student that was beaten, as being members of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, if they were, then that would have been spread all over the media. The media jumps on white supremacists almost as fast as they jump on Jews and Christians. Now, think about it. Under the current politically correct directives for journalism, what group is protected from being exposed in the media for any crime they commit?
Oh, wait, let me think. Buddhists, no. No, Sikhs, no. Wait.
I'll give you a hint. It's in Michigan.
Uh-huh. Oh, it starts
I will bet you dinner that these two guys that said Heil Hitler and punched this guy were Muslim students.
You know, that's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
I've actually been wondering that myself, because I haven't heard about any names. I haven't seen any pictures. There's been no perp walk. And for them to actually go to that house and tell the people not to talk to the press, what's up with that?
Well, also, the police today, when asked for more of an update, were saying no comment. We're not giving any information, which then further makes me wonder about what you and Bill were just saying. If they have a suspect in mind who does not live in the area of where it occurred, which is what it said in the report, do you think they'd release his name if his name was Ahmed or Muhammad?
It's a thought.
Well, in Michigan, I seriously doubt it.
The police do not have the authority to tell these people not to talk to the press. Only a judge can issue a gag order.
Right.
If these people want to talk about it, they can, and there's nothing that the police can do about it.
Right, but we're also dealing with teenagers, 18, 19, maybe 20-year-olds, you know, new kids in college, who if the police go in there and tell them that, many of them don't know the law well enough to know, screw you, cop, unless I get an order from a judge, I'm going to say what I want to who I want. They don't know any better. If the cop says to them, it's an open investigation, and if you talk about it to the press, we're going to hold you responsible, blah, 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 you know. So who knows what the cop said and how they, you know, twisted the arms. But even if that having said that, we already know that the same kids in that house stood by and let it happen. So who's to say?
Unfortunately, kids do that, yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Gotti. Now, you saw the Lansing coverage of the story.
Yes.
What paper was it?
Well, I've read two different articles. One was the MSU, the Michigan State University paper, and the other one was, forgive me, Rabbi, do you have it?
No, I don't.
All right, I can pull that up in a second here. The other one was the Detroit Free Press.
Right. Okay. I went to the Lansing State Journal, which is the major newspaper in the city of Lansing. Not a word about it. Not a thing about it. And they have a whole section dedicated to nothing but the college.
You know, what bothers me the most is if this kid were a homosexual, or he were Muslim, or he were black, or he were an atheist, you know darn well that any university across this great nation of ours would have jumped immediately within the hour and released a statement saying how horrific the crime was, how we're not going to stand for anything like that on our campus, and back that student 100%. And instead what you got was a statement about, well, we're going to help him with his studies since he's in the hospital.
Right.
You know, what is wrong with this? Does anybody see all the different things that
The thing that even disturbs me even more was the comments made by the head of the Jewish students for the East Campus, the Lansing campus.
You mean the Hillel organization?
No, it wasn't Hillel. It was, and I don't recall what the organization, what its name is, but they're supposed to represent the Jewish students on campus. And they talked to the head of that, which is, he's a young man, one of the students there. And, I mean, it was just so trite. And noncommittal. Well, this, we don't know if it was a hate crime or not, and we are, we would be upset if this happened to anything, and then this and that and the other thing. Where is the outrage among the Jewish community?
You know, didn't we seem to have that?
I mean, aside from you and me.
Yeah. Didn't we seem to have that recently with something else, Rabbi, within the last month or two, where the Jews... What was it? I think it was when Pamela Geller was going to a synagogue to speak, and
right.
At the last minute, the Jewish community, and I don't know whether it was the JCC, which would be the Jewish Community Center, or what.
I think it was the Federation.
The Jewish Federation canceled it. She was already in the air. She was traveling there from New York, and I don't remember where it was. It might have been somewhere in California, but they canceled her speech, saying that she wasn't. I don't want to paraphrase.
Well, they were afraid of what was, they were afraid that there would stir up negative feelings in the Muslim community.
She was too negative against Islam. That's basically what they said, to paraphrase it, that she was an individual that was anti-Islam, and therefore they were canceling the event, and they did it like a half hour before she was supposed to arrive. And there's videos of it on YouTube. You had all these people standing in front of a synagogue where she was supposed to speak, and they kept out Jews from a synagogue. That's like telling Christians, you can't come in my church. They told them to go away. There will not be a speech today. We see this time and time again with the Jews trying to be so kumbaya and so politically correct that they go overboard. You know, and I understand where the Jews are coming from. Let me play this music. I understand where you're coming from, my fellow tribesmen. I really do. I know that we as Jews have to stand up for everyone, regardless of their race, regardless of their color, regardless of their beliefs. But God Almighty, get a brain! Oh! You know, and that's where it stems from,
Rabbi. Take care of your people first, then worry about the world.
Exactly. And I understand that. You wrote on Facebook recently, within the last couple of days, you did a whole little bit. And I don't even remember what you wrote it under. It was a comment you had made on one of my posts about why the Jews do this, why we stand up. I think it was under my article about the crucifixions in Egypt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember how you worded that about why the Jews will stand up for others? I get it.
Yeah, the Jews are the barometer of the world. When the world is in pain, the Jew cries.
Well, I'm tired of crying because I'm crying stupidity now. Oh, my gosh. We got to take a quick break so that I can pop some blood pressure medicine, get another iced tea, and then when we come back, we'll give Bill the mic so he can talk a little bit. Rishi, what are we applying for the next break here?
Well, we're going to talk about a little bit of Main Street with Chris Ross, and this is one of those great songs that remind us to support our mom and pops, and because they're dwindling away faster than we actually should be seeing them go in this economy. So here we go, Chris Ross, Main Street, and you can find him on, well, you know what, his site is down right now, so look up Chris Ross and Main Street by Google, and hopefully tomorrow his website will be back up.
Do you remember how we used to be? We believed in the American dream. Made our way tools we had. Where we are now has me feeling sad. Mm-hmm. We took our blessings and we felt our faults, but we were proud as we built these walls. Now we're here, it feels like a different land. Our opportunity slips like sand. Where have you gone, Mom and Pop? The corner store turned into Walmart. Family farm doesn't grow. Stops, change our mood. Stops on Main Street. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, now bring back Main Street. Oh, oh, oh. We believe in equal justice and liberty. Now we live in two sets and rules. One for us and one for the ruling class. Do they really think that we're fools? Come on, people, you gotta find your soul. Oh, self-sufficiency is gonna help us climb from this hole. We got to turn to God and values and liberty. Remember, we were born to be free. Born free. Where have you gone, Mama Pop? The corner store turned into Walmart. The family farm doesn't grow up. Change our mood. It stops on Main Street. Our home, yeah. Oh, now bring back Main Street. Oh, bring back Main Street. Kick out Wall Street. Bring back Main Street. Oh, I remember the 4th of
Hey everybody, this is Dave Bray of Madison Rising, and you're listening to America Akbar with Gotti Adelman and Reese on Blog Talk Radio.
America Akbar!
Things aren't always fun in education around America Akbar. Sometimes they get a little bit uptight. But I'll tell you, when he said to me, you know, your blood pressure is getting a little high, Gotti, I was like, no, you don't say. Really? I wonder why. He's like, yeah, do you have any reason why your blood pressure might be a little bit up there? I haven't seen this before. It's really getting a little bit concerning. Gee, I wonder why. I could not think of a reason, Doc, as to why my blood pressure might be going through the roof. I'm going to blow a gasket. So wait a minute. Wait a minute. So you're saying that it's okay to stone him to death? That's not what I asked you. Because of the stupid restrictions and political correctness, give me a break.
But it does not discount the fact of what they are doing.
Then tell me which
time that somebody ever says no bullshit. Anytime anybody even utters.
Hold on a second. Stop talking and listen to me for a second. Thank you, Reese. That was much better. I feel a little bit better. No, I don't. Not another 4 years. There is no way in hell. Your prophet was a pedophile. It just blows my mind. Well, that's not politically correct. He wasn't asking you about political correctness. We're not at war with Islam. I didn't say we were at war with Islam. Oh, there goes my blood pressure again.
Yeah.
The Muslim Brotherhood is about as secular as I am the Pope. And read my stinking articles once in a while. My gosh. It's about killing me and my dog. Muzzies. Muzzies. That sounds like a plan. Anything for me to get my blood pressure down. Say goodnight, Reese.
Goodnight, Reese.
Hilaire Kapara Alai. Thanks, Suri to God. Welcome back, everybody, to America Akbar. I have to admit something. I've lied. I said that when we come back from the break, I'm going to give Bill the mic, and I forgot to mention something, so I'm going to have to take it away from him for one moment. A couple things I want to go over with everybody. Reese, thank you for that ad. That was very appropriate to do what we like to call the blood pressure ad. I want everybody out there to know, especially those in chat who are mentioning it, I was sick, really, really ill this past Monday, and I went to the doctor, and to say I felt like a pincushion is an understatement. I want everyone to know out there that from my cholesterol level to my blood pressure, I am, to quote the doctor, $1 million, okay? So I am I'm doing good, guys. So I appreciate the concern. When I joke about my blood pressure, it's really not as bad as it once was. It's actually come down. So thank everybody. Thank God. Baruch Hashem. I'm doing fine. But anyway, one other thing that I forgot to do today, and it's because I did have to work today, as I mentioned at the top of the show. And normally I would post, and I'm going to post it in the chat room right now, I would post a link on my Facebook page to this, so all those in the chat room can see it, rally.org, rally.org/Israel News Talk. You know, we have got Al Arabiya out there, we've got Al Jazeera out there, and right now we have no Al anything Israel. There is no 24/7 program in English that is pro-Israel. And not even just pro-Israel. I don't even like saying pro-Israel. Just the truth about Israel. And we, and I mean this, we, everybody listening to the sound of my voice, we have the opportunity to change that. Please, I beg of you all, go to rally.org/Israel News Talk. The link is in the chat room now twice. Thank you, Reese. Go to there and you can click. If you like, after you read it, you can click on the link for INTN, where we're trying to raise the funds for Israel News Talk Network. And there's a link to INTN, and their actual website is israelnewstalk.com. You can listen to some of the shows that we've done. The live stream is up now 24/7, and we're adding different shows every day. INTN wants to be the English-speaking
for Israel, about Israel, truth on Israel and the Middle East, 24/7, 7 days a week. And we can do this. We can make this happen. It was started on truly a shoestring budget from a gentleman who lives here in the States who came up with this idea. And we now have journalists in Jerusalem with a bureau there in New York and in Washington, D.C. We've gotten some great guests. We've got a bunch of guests lined up, which you can actually, if you go to the INTN, which is IsraelNewsTalk.com website, you can see guests that we are going to have lined up that range from Pamela Geller on down the line. So this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing when it actually happens. And the only way it's going to happen is with your help. So, you know, everybody out there, you know I don't ask a lot for donations to different causes. I think in reality, the only cause I've ever asked you to donate to outside of this was for Corey Claggett, who's sitting in Leavenworth for following orders, and quite possibly, even though he's innocent of the crime he was accused of, sitting now for life imprisonment for killing some terrorists while he was in Iraq. So outside of giving money to his family to help him, I don't believe I've ever asked for funds. Anybody can correct me if I'm wrong. And Bill, I'm sorry I stole the limelight. It's only 8 minutes after, so my apologies.
Oh, no problem, Gotti. Now, Lewis, I have some great words of encouragement for the American people from none other than Michael Moore. Believe it or not, WorldNet Daily, Michael Moore is quoted as saying, "Get used to saying President Romney." The White House is in a panic, and he says people need to start practicing saying President Romney. So anyway, so I give you a little boost there, but if we end up saying President Romney, it's not because the Republicans or conservatives have necessarily won victories. It's because America is so sick of Obama and his political foolishness. I think what we need to address in America is what I call terminal niceness. This idea that the victims of crimes and whatever can change the bad guys by just being nicer and more innocuous. You know, we were talking about this poor Jewish boy got his jaw broken, his lips stapled shut, and the response was just tepid at best. Terminal niceness. Well, maybe if we're just nicer to the Muslims, they'll start to like us more. Well, I say it's time for some testosterone therapy to try to cure this terminal niceness.
Little testicular fortitude there.
Exactly.
Wait, I gotta play this 1 second clip, my favorite clip of Wild Bill here.
Poor little jihad rats.
Oop, that was the wrong one. I'm sorry. Poor little jihad rats. This was the clip I wanted.
Pull your lips off Islamic butts and start acting like Americans.
There you go. That's one of my favorites there, Bill.
Start acting like Americans, really. You know why the liberal left has gained so much power in this country? It's because they have not been afraid to speak out loud, bold, no matter how obnoxious they were, and that's how they have gained their power. And now we on the conservative side are trying to gain power by being terminally nice, and it does not work. It's an absolute failure. And the Republican convention this week is nothing more than terminal niceness. You notice that they have not said a single word about Obama. They've not let a single patriot like Alan West speak. They have not attacked Obama's policies in any way, shape, or form. I tell you, these guys are nice guys finish last.
You're right, Bill. I mean, they've attacked his policies in generalizations. You know, it's because of the way Obama has done things for the last 4 years that we are in the situation we're in. But going beyond that, they haven't really said anything. You're absolutely right.
Well, I said back when we were still, when Newt and Santorum and all those other guys were still in the running, that, you know, these guys have got to wake up. They have to realize that they are about to get into a bar fight.
Exactly. That's one way of putting it.
And it is not going to be pretty. And, you know, it's going to be no holds barred. And
well,
if you don't go into the political campaign with that idea, you're going to get beat.
We're going to see tonight at 10 o'clock. I'm going to watch Romney's speech, and I want to see if he takes the gloves off. Bill, I want to, you referred to it as terminal niceness. I like that. You're going to have to do a video now called Terminal Niceness.
I'll work on that.
Here's a sound for everybody listening of what terminal niceness will give us.
Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya.
Yes, everybody, get used to that sound. Because if we continue down this path of terminal niceness, we're all going to be holding hands and singing Kumbaya. Oh, my gosh. I mean, but you're right. I mean, everything that we have talked about tonight, whether it is the situation, okay, enough Kumbaya, lady, hush. Hush, quiet, be done. Enough, thank
there.
You.
There.
Okay. Whether we've talked about Iran, whether we've talked about General Dempsey saying, we ain't got your back, Israel. Whether we've talked about this young boy, Zachary, who got the snot kicked out of him and his jaw broken and ended up in the hospital having to have surgery because he was a Jew and nobody's speaking out. That's what your terminal niceness will give you. Ah! Reese, I need my blood pressure medicine.
Gotti, this show is your blood pressure medicine. What would you do without it?
Oh, I'll tell you what. If I didn't have this show, I would have exploded a long time ago.
And I know it probably won't make you feel very good about it, but the media would have totally ignored your exploding.
Oh, well, that makes me feel great. You know, no, they probably wouldn't have because Kara would have had some kind of statement. There was a Jew hottie today who splattered himself. I'd be the exploding Jew, the suicide bomber.
It was a Jewish bomb, yeah.
It was a Jewish guy who exploded and splattered himself along the walls. Nobody else was injured because he was at home, but that doesn't matter because he was a Jew.
Yeah, America needs elected leaders that are willing to stand up and fight for this country. And as far as I'm concerned, the most serious enemies of this country, many of them are sitting in the United States Congress. And it's about time we had a president who's willing to call them out. So, yeah, I'm on my anti-terminal niceness rant here.
No, keep going. I'm clapping.
Yeah.
We were talking about this the other day, Gotti, about this disease actually being, you know, not just rampant in the United States, but being rampant in Israel also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right, Rabbi. We started to talk about it, and we got into it just as Bill was leaving that show, where he just kind of signed off at 9 o'clock and left because he was being chased by a bear. And
I rode away into the sunset.
Oh, yeah, very nice, very nice.
Into the sunset. And you had to pick up your wife at work, so we actually did know that time. There's been many times where you've disappeared on me, and I'm like, where the hell did Bill go? But yeah, no, that time we knew what it was. But yeah, we did start talking about this, Rabbi, and I gave some examples as to what is happening, and I still firmly believe. And I'm, you know what? It's not even a belief. I know for a fact, and I can speak on this because I grew up over there. I know these people, and I can say this. The generation now, and let's think about what year we're in, 2012. Israel has not had an all-front war since 1973. Thank God for that. Thank God that the last time Israel had to fight an enemy on every front, but it was Yom Kippur 1973. You've got an entire generation, those that are serving in the military now, who have never known war. And I don't say that like it's a bad thing, but when it comes to Israel's survival, one of the things they had was that every generation entering the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, knew what it was to have a war by all its enemies surrounded on every side. Now you've got a generation that hears the plight of the poor Palestinians. They were born into this. They were born after 1969, obviously, after 1973. I mentioned 1969 because 1969 is when all of a sudden, overnight, there became these people called the Palestinians. They never were called that before then. So after 1969, boom, woke up one day and all of a sudden there was this whole new race. This non-existent people, as Newt Gingrich so correctly phrased it. The group that we have now in Israel, anybody born after 1973 does not know of war.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got...
And what was the thing that upset... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to walk on you like that.
Go ahead, because I need to breathe. My ears are getting red. I feel my blood pressure going up.
So what was the biggest thing that bothered me this week? I even put it up that this was, with everything going on, what was the biggest thing that bothered me this week?
I do recall. I'll let you tell it. And I'll say this. It made you cry.
Yeah. Was the fact that the IDF has put up posters in schools talking about the first day of school, and there's three things on there. The first thing about, you know, hooking up with old friends and stuff like that. The
right.
third thing on there was to know where the nearest bomb shelter is. So what school anywhere in the world has to put up with that kind of crap and has to know, has their children have to be worried about it day in and day out? When they're at school, they have to know where the nearest bomb shelter is, because
I did when I lived there. And I'll tell you, you know, Rabbi, it's so funny that you bring that up, and I knew you were going to bring this up, and I'm glad you did, because you and I and Bill, and possibly even Reese, but she's a little bit younger, we remember, and I say we because I was in this country during my elementary years, when we used to have air raid drills. And you had that big yellow and black CD, civil defense sign, and we all had to go to a particular area. In my particular school, our basement was a bomb shelter. Because
duck and
of
cover.
The 60s, duck and cover. Exactly. In the 60s, we faced the threat of a nuclear Russia. And we all had to learn that here in the States. So when I went to Israel and had to learn where the bomb shelter was, it was no big deal until the realization came to me. And I can tell you exactly what day that was.
Because
it was November 13th, 1975. The day I survived a terrorist bombing, the realization, it hit me. The difference between growing up in America and having a drill once a month to walk to the cafeteria or walk to the basement was a lot different than in Israel, first day of school, when they show you where the bomb shelter is. Because over there it can happen.
I don't believe in begging the bad guys for my children's safety. I believe in standing up to them for my children's safety.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and that is the difference between what, and exactly goes back to what the rabbi was saying, Bill, that you missed it last time we talked about this. The difference between the Israel when I was there and the Israel now. Because Israel has become so westernized that you've got Jewish groups, Israelis and Jews, Jewish Israeli organizations, fighting for the rights of Palestinians within the state of Israel. They actually have people 24/7 that stand at the border crossings with the West Bank with video cameras to make sure that the Israeli Defense Forces don't mistreat the poor, poor Palestinians. They post this crap on YouTube. And they're
after they edit it.
Exactly. The way they edit it on the few situations there have been, not like the stories, Bill, that you did when you did in Israeli Heart, your video about that soldier that came out from behind a bomb shelter barrier to save the life of a Palestinian who was wired to explode. No, they don't promote that. These same groups will edit things to make it appear. And I say make it appear because I've been to those sites. I've worked those crossings. These guys are faced day in and day out with people walking up on them with bombs strapped to them, with bombs strapped to babies and baby carriages, with people that want to knife them and slice their throat. on a daily basis. And you have organizations by Jewish Israelis that stand there and videotape crap, and then when that something is done, they only show the piece where the Israeli soldier is trying to maintain order, and they edit it down to make it look like he's the bad guy.
Well, we just had that incident. We just had that incident where that what was it, Colonel, who butt-stroked that
the
idiot.
Colonel, that Colonel who was relieved of his duty, I might add, who
exactly.
was a lifelong, because in Israel, not too many people will be actually join the army for a career. He was a career soldier, a colonel in the Israeli army, who headbutted with the butt of his M16, and I believe it was an M16 shorty. I'd have to watch the video again. But he used his M16, and he headbutted a protester from, where was he? He was Dutch, wasn't he, Rabbi?
Yeah, he was Dutch, yeah.
And what they didn't show in that film, which thank God is now out there, if you want to watch the entire two-hour boring film, what these protesters did to the soldiers before the soldier finally snapped. In that colonel's case, he had his hand broken.
Right.
That individual. Because they were beating on them with sticks. And the Israelis are told, no, stand there and take it. Because there's video cameras around. And we don't want the world thinking that we're the bad guys. After he got his finger broken, he butted the guy in the mouth with the gun. And the only thing you saw 24/7 from our lame stream media and from sites on YouTube was the butting of the kid in the mouth, not what preceded it and led up to it.
We have done a terrible disservice to our children, bringing them up, our Jewish children, bringing them up, not telling them the truth.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And if we go back, let's take a little history tour, if you don't mind.
Oh, isn't that the Beatles, the history tour?
Yeah, that was a mystery tour.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
We came out, before we came out of Mitzrayim, before we were enslaved by Pharaoh or by the foreign rulers. This wasn't actually
Pharaoh. I'm going to translate for the rabbi. Before the Jews came out of Egypt, you said Mitzrayim.
Translating for the biblically or the rabbinically impaired.
Yes.
So before the Jews came out, they were settled in the land of Goshen. What was Goshen? Goshen was the gateway into Egypt. The Jews were there for a reason. They had a very good connection with Pharaoh. Pharaoh understood that he was blessed because the Jews were in the land. So they became the gatekeepers. They had to come through the Jews to get into Egypt, and they knew that they weren't coming through the Jews, period. When the Hyksos came in, the foreign rulers came in and drove the pharaohs out of the land, where did they go? They went out through Goshen. The idea was that they were going to consolidate their forces, they were going to join with the Jews, and they were going to come in through the land of Goshen and take Egypt back. Well, that didn't happen. Okay, so they enslaved the Jews so that they wouldn't become a military force that the pharaohs could actually use to take back Egypt. Okay, so these guys were not pushovers. This is not the lowly little Jew bent over with his eyes down on the ground. No. These guys were fierce fighters. When we came out of Egypt and we went to Sinai and we got the Torah. Now, the Talmud tells us that the reason that we were given the Torah
Dianu.
Was to mitigate our warlike tendencies. That had we not been given the Torah and
Dianu.
Had been given the laws, I'm sorry.
I keep saying Dianu every time you say, we came out of Egypt, Dianu, we got the Torah, Dianu. Go
Thank
on.
Thank you. So the rabbis tell us that the reason that we were given the Torah was to mitigate our warlike tendencies. That had it not been for the Torah that we had been given and the laws that we had been given regarding war and how it was supposed to be waged in an ethical manner, there would be no people, no country in the world that could stand against the Jews. So the Torah was given to them. When they walked into, when they came across the Yarden River, the Jordan River, into Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, There was no army could stand against them. They did what they want. They still, at West Point, still study the book of Joshua today to see how Joshua, as a military leader, as a brilliant military leader, actually Hashem, as a brilliant military leader, and how Joshua waged war to take the land, because it was absolutely military brilliance. This is the history we're not teaching our children. We teach them to be...
Along with a lot of other history.
I'm sorry?
I say along with a lot of other histories that they're not being taught. I'm sorry, I'm just jumping and going.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and if we were teaching our children the actual history, rather than, constantly talking about political correctness and social justice and this and that and the other thing, which is all BS, it isn't in the Torah anywhere, then maybe we wouldn't be dealing with what we're dealing with now. We would strike the way that we were told to strike, and we would obliterate the enemy, and to hell with what the world had to say.
Rabbi, did you just say BS?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I've got a sound effect for you.
Bullshit.
There you go. It's a coughing bullshit sound.
Getting so fed up with the way that Jewish education has been run since the 1970s. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's no damn wonder kids don't want to stay Jewish anymore.
It's no damn wonder kids don't want to stay Christian either. If I see one more atheist billboard out there, I'm going to puke. I mean, and it doesn't matter, I've said it before, I don't care if you leave Islam and become a Sikh or a Buddhist or a Jew or a Christian, just get the heck out of Islam. And they're taking away, at the time they're shoving Islam down our throats, not just here in America, but throughout Europe. They are taking away the other religions in the name of atheism because political correctness. Oh, well, that cross at ground zero makes me physically ill. Bullshit! What the hell kind of crap is that? A lawsuit from the American Atheist Organization that the symbol of a cross that's not even a cross. It's two I-beams from the World Trade Center. It's an iconic piece of history that men and women, Jews and non-Jews alike, including rabbis and priests, all gathered underneath with firefighters and police officers and survivors to help each other. It's a stupid piece of metal that happens to be in the shape of a cross, and the American Atheist Organization is fighting to keep it out of the memorial? That makes me sick as a Jew. Told you it was going to be one hell of a night.
Yeah.
They are shoving Islam down our throats. The DNC has got co-conspirators, unindicted co-conspirators that are going to speak at the Democratic National Convention this coming week, along with 20,000 Muslims in attendance. People that were co-conspirators in the largest terror financing trial in the history of the United States. They are being invited on stage to hold hands and be arm in arm. And while they shove Islam down our throats, they're taking away your rights to Judaism and Christianity. I'm sorry, but there's something wrong with that. Isn't that what this country was founded on? Go ahead, Bill. Jump in anytime. I need a breath.
You know what? How about a quick break to get your blood pressure back down, get you something to drink, and a little stretch?
Shut down! I'm sorry, Reese. Go on.
How does that sound to you? You know what? It's so funny because this week, I don't remember what instigated it, but, I had a super Jew moment. So I thought, you know what? Tonight, I think we need a little super Jew.
Super Jew. Gonna put Gotti in a set of tights and have him run across the stage.
Have you heard this song yet, the Super Jew song?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. So, Gotti, this one's for you because we need you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, faster than a cow running from a shell hat, more powerful than a Russian weightlifter, and from all over the diaspora and into the deepest regions of the Semitic population, may I present... Super...
Nothing on my man.
He can leave the hall of four.
Beat the Ku Klux Klan.
He's been around 100 years.
He still looks pretty good.
He doesn't drive a Saturday.
He eats some kosher food.
Strolling home from each other. That's a piece of fish.
He created what they added. Yoga
the
fish and fish.
Influences your politics.
He's proud of battle scars.
He's quite the entertainer.
Advisor to the stars.
Good job instead he went to
hire me to train.
He's more than a religion.
Than the science of a thing.
Super Jew.
He found himself surrounded by the Aryan nation. Everywhere he looked through eyes and bomb hair.
So help me, Super Jew,
cause you're the only one who cares.
From Russia to Ellis Island we came.
A mix of all Caucasians,
and they shortened my name.
We hoped that we would make it.
The streets were paper bowls.
Now a third generation
American unfolds.
Sleeps like us about it.
He's hairy like an ape.
He's tortured like an Asian,
but his tolerance is great.
We were on our own, but now we're back in the day.
Now we gotta save the
superhero.
Of aggression.
And it's just when it's cute.
It's all part of his aggression to make you feel at ease.
But you'll be bothered in the past when he brings you to your knees.
He's the baddest kind of Hebrew.
And for bad, I mean good.
He always does a miss for when the Torah says he should.
To rescue you from danger, all the crowd of angry Aryans.
His sister was a prophetess.
Her name was Miriam.
So whenever you're in trouble
and you haven't got a clue,
holler out his name. Super Jew will save you.
Super Jew, we need you. You got to save us.
And it's all good, preaching something you won't find in this Talmud. Super Jew is really much better than great. And just like Elijah, you better set a plate. And on Yom Kippur, when you're hungry like a freak, Super Jew's in the house with enough food for a week. Go, girl!
Please, save me, Super Jew. You're my hero. Super Jew!
Hey everybody, this is Dave Bray of Madison Rising, and you're listening to America Akbar with Gotti Adelman and Reese on Blog Talk Radio.
Recent visitors to George's Gin Joint include Bear Grylls the Survivalist, Godfather Don Corleone, former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, Secretary of the Department of Bitch Slapping Hilda, Darth Vader, even President Richard Nixon popped in. So come visit the hottest place for happy hour every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and show the world that you have an American view.
We are back. Thank you, everybody, for sticking around. And once again, you know, if you guys want to call in comments, questions, just to say whatever you want to say, 347-857-1380 is our phone number. We've got Wild Bill for America. We've got Rabbi Nachman. And we've got Reese all standing by. So please, guys, feel free to call in if you have any comments on anything we've talked about tonight, or if you want to bring something up that we have not yet mentioned. Speaking of which, Mr. Wild Bill for America, I almost said Mr. America. Mr. America, do you have any thoughts or comments on anything that we've either brought up or not brought up that you wanted to bring up tonight?
Oh, I'm kicking myself because I went on one of my best rants ever a few minutes ago, but I had myself muted. That's when Reese had to jump in and carry it for me, but I'm back now. Yeah, there is something I would like to throw out there, an idea, and that is I would like to see some genuine American patriots who are elected officials, for instance, Alan West. I'd like to see them challenge Barack Obama's authority by basically making an end run around him. I'd like to see Alan West call a meeting with the Joint Chiefs to lay down the law to them and let them know that there will be repercussions if they fail to support Israel, to let them know that Obama is not going to be there forever, and if they're just kissing up to Obama in order to get another star on their flag, it's not going to work. You know, I love America's military and I have great respect for them, but once they get up to a colonel and above in ranks, they are politically promoted rather than promoted through the military. And I would like to throw out there for people like Alan West and to challenge Obama, to go around him. He's certainly gone around Congress enough. Maybe it's time for Congress to go around him and begin developing a coalition against Obama. And in fact, speaking of that, there was a guy that kind of gave me the idea. I got an email from a police officer in Chicago. And he was glad to tell me that every cop he knows in Chicago are chomping at the bit to vote Obama out in November. Now, that's encouraging because there's a lot of Americans out there asking me if we can still trust our military and police. A lot of them think that they're going to be coming to kick in their doors and take their guns. And no, I can tell you that's not going to happen. The military and law enforcement are among the most conservative groups in America, and you can bet that they hate Obama's guts. Okay, I'm back.
No, you know, and does any of this really come as a surprise that Obama is getting away with this? You can go back to 2009. You know, I wish I had my little harp music to go back in the past here. Back in 2009, when Obama and Janet Napolitano appointed Arif Ali Khan, a devout Muslim, as the Assistant Secretary for Policy Development for the Homeland Security. And then right after that, she appointed the devout Muslim Karim Shura, who, by the way, was born in Damascus, Syria, as the National Executive Director of the Homeland Security Advisory Council. Now, I'm using the term devout Muslim. I'm not throwing that in there myself. That is how it was released by our government. A press release, Homeland Security press room referred to both of these individuals as, and I quote, devout Muslims. How come I've never seen anybody in any administrative position be referred to as a devout Christian or a devout Jew? Why do they have to point out that this person is a devout Muslim? Which, as we all know around here, I've explained before, there's no such thing as moderate Islam. There's only Islam. And if they are devout, that is the difference between your so-called moderates and Nidal Hassans. We've got two devout Muslims appointed by the president, Janet Napolitano, to the highest levels of Homeland Security. Is it any wonder that Obama has gotten away with what he's gotten away with? And that's my rant. Your turn.
Yeah, I'll tell you why they don't appoint devout Christians and Jews is because they're not afraid of the Christians and the Jews. We are not a threat to them, but Islam is. This is cowardice in action as leadership. Leaders do not cower before the evil of the world. Leaders stand up to evil. And we're seeing the exact opposite of that in the Obama administration.
Bill, I got to tell you, in a way, they are afraid of those devout Christians, because aren't those the ones that Janet Napolitano said? You know, those people with the Bibles and the guns, they're the ones that should be on the terrorist watch list.
And the reason she had the courage to say that was because the Christians are pretty much a silent group in this country. They're hiding behind the church doors. They have surrendered their right to speak up. And it's, you know, I've been encouraging them to come out and take the Bible into the public arena and speak out boldly there. There's a lot of them that have the courage to carry a Bible into the church. Where are the men of this country who have the courage to carry it into the public arena? That
exactly.
is when the Obama administration would start to fear the Christians like they do the Muslims. But
and
you see what I mean about leadership?
You are hitting the nail on the head, Bill. You come up with such beautiful phrases off the top of your head. Hiding behind church doors. Let me tell you something. Is it really any wonder that you have people in this country hiding behind church doors when Christianity is being attacked the way it is and Islam is being shoved down our throats?
The Muslims have every right to be enthusiastic. They're winning in every arena in this country.
Exactly. They are, you know, and I'll refer to it once again. And I see we have somebody on hold, Reese. I do see that. Thank you. I'll refer to it once again. It was part of the Holy Land Foundation trial, the trial I mentioned back before the break, the largest terror financing trial in the history of the United States, when a Muslim Brotherhood document known as the Plan, and it's a 100-year plan, that's what they call it, that's the title of it in Arabic, translated into English, gives step-by-step instructions of how the Muslim Brotherhood plans to overthrow the West. It was introduced and used during the Holy Land Trial Foundation by, back then, a much smarter administration and prosecutors. And they are following that plan to the letter, and they are winning. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, we do have a caller on line four. Welcome to America, Akbar. Who are we talking to?
Gotti, you are on fire. This is Lucha in the chat room. I love you, man.
I'm on fire because my blood pressure is making my ears red. That's why I'm on fire, Lucha.
Well, but of course, because they're making so much noise than we are. And we, as, okay, I'm a Christian. There are Jewish people. There are people that are not of any faith. I mean, even atheists, even the liberals and the Democrats. I mean, we have to be on fire, Gotti, because they are overtaking us. And there is only, what, a small percentage of Muslims in America, but they are making the most noise. It's time for us to stand up and make as much noise as they do. What's wrong with us? I mean, I'm a Christian. I can't speak for the Jewish people. I love the Jewish people. I love Israel. I would take a bullet in my forehead for Israel before I would do that for America, actually. But we as Christians, I mean, and I'm a Christian. I'm not sure how many Jewish people are there. I love you guys. But as Christians, we're taught to be meek and mild and not make waves. No, sorry, sorry, sorry. It's time for us to stand up and make some noise. We need to be louder than they are. And there are so many more of us than there is of them. And we need to make enough noise. We need to get out there and make ourselves heard. Because if we don't, they're going to overtake us like they have in Europe and Norway and Belgium and Denmark. They are taking over. We cannot let them, because if we do, they win and we lose. That's not going to happen. Sorry.
No, hey, keep going, girl. You're on a roll. I appreciate it. You're absolutely right. And you would think the way things, I mean, if you just picked up a newspaper, if you were from outer space and landed in the United States and read anything in today's news or watched the mainstream media, you would think that Islam is a heck of a lot larger presence in the U.S. than 0.08%. That's what it is. 0.08%. And they are
That's
truly
right.
making all this noise. Where, you know, you would think, with all the Jews and Christians in this country, and not just the Jews and Christians, anybody else that's against Islam. Gee, we could spend the rest of the show just mentioning them. Let's talk about the Sikhs. Let's talk about the Buddhists. You could go on and on and on. Any religion that is not taking Allah as their God, according to Islam, is an enemy of Islam. That's not my opinion. That's in their book.
Allah. He's Satan. He is Satan incarnated. I mean, Allah is Satan. Sorry to say it. Muhammad was possessed when he was in that cave. And Khadijah, I mean, what happened with Muhammad when he was in that cave? He was scared. But his wife, Muhammad's wife, Khadijah, made him, go with it. Don't be scared, Muhammad. That guy was possessed.
He was a pedophile, so I don't want to know what went on behind cave doors, okay?
Yeah, but I mean, we need to stand up. I mean, and you're right. You're absolutely right. The Muslims are a minority in America, but they are making the most noise. And what's going on at the Democratic National Convention? They're going to have a Juma prayer for 2 hours? Well, if there's any Democrats listening to this show or that are going to listen in archives, I beg you, if you do not want Sharia law, if you don't want your limbs amputated for being gay, if you don't want your head cut off because you don't submit to Islam, then leave the dang Democratic Party, because that's what they're leading you to. The Democratic National Committee has made a statement that they are going to allow Islamic prayer at their convention. Well, if they're going to go down that road, let them go down that road. Do you want to be part of that road? I don't know. If you do, you're going to reap what you sow. But if you don't, leave the Democratic Party and make a statement. Muslims in America are making so much noise, and Christians and Jews and even atheists, Hindus, Buddhists, every other faith. Everybody needs to make enough noise, make way much more noise than the Muslims are making. Because, I'm sorry, I'm tired of hearing them. I'm tired of hearing that they're offended. I'm tired of hearing that they're offended by what we do here. I'm tired of hearing that there's halal food in prisons. I'm sorry, but, our prisoners in all these jails and all these prisons, if they want to eat pork, let them eat it. So what? Muslims are making way too much noise in America, and we need to shut them the heck up.
Way to go, Lucha. Man, you just said, now whose blood pressure is up?
Yeah.
Lucha, you brought up, don't apologize, sweetie. You brought up a very good point that I wanted to point out. Two things. Point number one, and you are absolutely right, we are talking about a two-hour Juma prayer. The Democratic National Convention, like the Republican National Convention, is 4 days. They're taking 2 hours for Muslim prayer for 0.08% of the population. Does that mean that the rest of the 4 days is going to be for Christians and Jews because of the population differences? I mean, think about this. They're giving 2 hours to that. But here's what really cracks me up, and I can't wait to see how this unfolds, people. There's also going to be, on day one of the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, a gay pride parade. So how are these 20,000 Muslims going to look upon all these fabulous people running around out front, having all the pride in their gayness? I mean, do these people not realize who they're inviting?
The term useful idiots comes to mind because, I mean, and I keep forgetting the saying. What's the famous Muslim saying? The enemy of my enemy is my friend, or something like that.
It's an old saying, yes.
Yeah, and the left. Okay, you've got Muslims that are going to be at the DNC, and you've got the gay people that are going to be at the DNC. And what are the Muslims thinking with all the gay people that are going to be there? Well, to me, I mean, in my understanding of Islam, they're just useful idiots. The Muslims are just using them until they get what they want, and then they're going to boot them out. Islam does not go with homosexuality.
Yeah, I don't mean to be stereotypical, but I just want somebody to capture for me on video during this gay pride parade when one of these individuals walks up to a Muslim and says, "Doll, I'm sorry, but that hijab just does not go with that outfit." You know, I mean, really, what? It's funny, but it's so stupid that it's funny. They kill homosexuals. Do they not realize what they're doing? I mean, it's my...
Well, I think they have a common enemy. You know, I think this, I think that America, because of the current regime that's in the White House, America is so dang divided. You know, and yes, I look to Mr. Obama. I do not call him president. He has never been my president. He has never proven to me that he is constitutionally eligible to be my president. Therefore, I do not recognize him as such. But he ran a campaign on unity. No, he has not united us. He has divided us with race, with religion, with a whole lot of other things. He has divided us. And the atmosphere that's in this country now is so dang divided. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And Christians are getting persecuted. Jews are getting persecuted under Mr. Obama. What's going on here? You know, I look to the Bible. I'm a Christian. And that's why I love Israel. That's why, you know, because to me, that's where Jesus was born. Beyond that, that's where God, that's God's, Israel is God's holy land. And that's the Alpha and the Omega. And any president of America should support Israel no matter what. The minute that Iran threatens Israel, any American president should get up there and say, "Oh, hell no, you are not going to threaten Israel. We will stand behind her 100%. Sit back down." But no, this president, or so-called president, sorry, I can't call him that, has not done that. What's going on here? We're seeing prophecy happening before our eyes, Gotti. There are so many prophecies in the Bible that are being fulfilled.
Well, we've
and
talked
even
about that
this...
here, believe me.
Yeah.
We have talked about
so,
that. I don't want to interrupt, sweetie, but we've only got like 5 minutes left in the show. And, Bill, I want to ask you a quick question. No, don't apologize and don't go anywhere. That's fine. I've just got to keep you from going for another 5 minutes. Bill.
Yeah.
Is there not somewhere, and I could be wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, in the New Testament, is there not something about what happens to a people when they turn their back on the Jews?
Well, it's actually the Old Testament.
Okay, I knew it was in the Old Testament. I thought it was also
yeah.
in the New Testament.
Well, there's a lot of prophecies in the book of Revelation that talk about those who stand firm until the end will be saved. As far as actually standing against the Jews, nothing in the New Testament. But, you know, of course, the book of Revelation talks about, and the book of Romans talks about the entire Jewish nation being saved. Romans chapter 11 indicates that the entire nation is still in God's thoughts and under his care, and that he's going to take care of his people.
Yeah, so what's going to happen if, as President of the United States, regardless of who that person may be, but we all know if an attack on Iran were to happen prior to the election, Obama is president, and for whatever reason, his generals, his staff, himself, he's the commander-in-chief. If he does not back Israel, what is going to happen to the United States, according to the Bible?
Well, there's a lot of talk about how the United States seems to be totally absent from the end-time battles of Armageddon. There's really only one prophecy in Revelation that I see applying to the United States, and it talks about how Israel is given the wings of a great eagle to protect her for times and time again, something or other. So for a certain amount of time, Israel is supposedly under the protection of the wings of a great eagle, but that eagle seems to disappear as the prophecies go on. Now, that is a scary thought, and it could very well be that if the United States turns its back on Israel, God will turn his back on the United States.
Well, everybody, we are going to end it on that. Rabbi, do you have any closing thoughts?
I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them who curse thee.
Exactly. Everybody, I want to thank you for a wonderful show. We're ending on a sour note, but it's also a good note because you can think about it and you can change it. And we've got our chance to change it come November. And everybody, you know, it's we've still got about 3 minutes left in the show, but I'm going to end the show a little bit early so that those that want to watch Romney can get to their television and see the speech of what I hope is going to be the next president of the United States. I don't care if you like Romney or not. I've said this before. Everyone knows I was pulling for Santorum, but I know in my head and in my heart and with common sense that Romney is going to be tenfold better than what we've currently got sitting in the White House, not just for the United States, but for the Middle East and Israel specifically. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us tonight, for Reese, for the Rabbi, for Bill, for Lucha, for Tim, who won a shirt, and everybody here at America Akbar. Thank you so much, and we will see you again next week. And until then, I got to unmute Reese. Say goodnight, Reese.
Good night, Reese.
Good night, Reese. Good night, Bill.
Good night.
Good night, Rabbi.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, Grandpa. You guys have a great week. We'll see you again next week right here, same channel.
Fighting jihad before it was cool, warning of terrorists and Sharia rules, speaking truth to power on the radio, a lighthouse in the storm to his fellow infidels. America.